Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." I'll talk to you for just a few minutes today about heaven. You don't hear much about heaven anymore. And I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes. BJ, would you pray for us today? Let's pray. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, he said our conversation is about heaven. That's what he basically said. Now, our conversation, and in that context, and it's an old English word, it means the way we live. Because you're known by what you say. So the way we live, the way we walk, the way we talk is about heaven since we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Can you say amen right there? Amen. I want to read you this poem. "They laid his body in Joseph's new tomb and filled his disciples with sorrow and gloom. They did not remember what he had said, that he would die, but he wouldn't stay dead. Mary came at the break of day and found the stone was rolled away. She saw an angel and in terror fled and told his disciples that he didn't stay dead. In that cold, dark tomb he would not stay. He conquered death and walked away. And now that old grave has lost its fear and dread. He lives again. He wouldn't stay dead. Full atonement and pardon were made, and forever the sin debt is marked, fully paid. The price was his blood as it flowed crimson red, and I'm thankful today that he didn't stay dead. Let our churches and let's go to our churches and cry aloud. Let's go to the marketplace and talk to the crowd. Let's go to the mission fields that lie up ahead and tell the whole world that he didn't stay dead." The church, our salvation, the Word of God, Sunday, is all about the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place to pay for our sins so that we don't have to stay dead. He rose from the grave. The Bible calls him the first fruit. He rose from the death grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us all the time. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. And every time the old Satan accuses us, he said, "Well, there's my son. He paid for it. Talk to him." And so the blood of Jesus cleansed us from all our sins for one purpose, one alone, so we could go to heaven and God could get the glory. And that's the whole story right there. Because he wouldn't stay dead. Now, Brother Ron, because he didn't stay dead, and I am now a follower of Christ, I've accepted him as my Savior, not just the Savior, but my Savior, and I've turned to him and confessed my sinfulness and asked his forgiveness and received salvation, now I get to go to heaven. Amen. There's nothing good about me. God, thank God I'm not what I used to be. He's changed me, but I'm not always what I ought to be either. But glory to God, one day I'm not what I am, what I will be. Amen? Now, listen, heaven is a real place. You don't hear much about it anymore. You don't hear much about hell anymore. You don't hear much about death anymore. It's all good and everything's lovely and everything's sweet, you know. And we put the little things on Facebook and Twitter and on television. We got our little sermonettes for our little Christianettes, you know. And everything's sweet and lovely. But I've got news for you. This ain't heaven. I'm going to heaven. And it's so much better in heaven. I want to go. I want to go. Now, I've never seen heaven. I see it by faith through the Word of God. I don't know anybody other than Jesus Christ that's been there and back. By faith, I know it's there because what the Word of God. Now, the Word of God that convicted me of my sins, the Word of God that converted me from my sins, the Word of God that is continually changing me, that same Word tells me about heaven. So I see heaven through the Word of God. That's how I see heaven. So I thought I'd share some scriptures with you today. Now, the Bible talks about three heavens. It talks about the first heaven. And now, don't let the Mormons deceive you on this. They talk about way out yonder and other gods and other planets and other, all that stuff. But in the Bible, there's three heavens. There's the terrestrial heaven. That's the atmosphere. That's where the clouds are that poured out that rain. And that's where the birds fly. That's here. That's on this terrestrial ball. It's around this ball. By the way, they talk about pollution. They don't even know why that stuff sticks to this ball. They don't know why it hasn't flown off in space. Mars don't have it. Pluto don't have it. Jupiter doesn't have it. We're the only ones that has it. I'll tell you why. God made it for us. Amen. And He created all things. By Him, all things what? They consist. They stay together. That's why we still got it. And so, and by the way, that crowd that's so worried about destroying this this world, they ought to be getting ready for the next one. Amen. And so you got the terrestrial, the atmosphere. You've got the second heaven. That's called the celestial. That's where the moon is. And that's where the sun and the stars and Jupiter and Mars and all those things. That's the celestial heavens in the Bible. And then, thank God, you've got that third heaven. Paul said, I knew a man once, whether in the body or not, I don't know. He said, but he went up to the third heaven. That's where Jesus is. That's where God is. And by the way, there's only one of them. There's only one heaven. And that's where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. And I'm going because He went there ahead of me and He prepared a place for me. Amen? And so today, I want to talk a little bit about heaven. Most of us say we're saved in this room. I don't know everybody's heart. I just know mine. I know I am. I was there March 5th, 1978 when it happened. I'll never forget the day. I was born again. I became a new creature in Christ. All the burdens were lifted there at Calvary that day. It's finished. It's completed. It's done. I won't ever have to do that again. I've got the assurance in my heart. I may not always look like it. I may not act like it. But my name's written down in heaven. Amen. Not because of me, but because of what He did. And because of not what I'm doing, but because of what He's doing. Amen. And so there's some scripture about heaven. Revelation 21, if you'll look at it. Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 23. Revelation 21:23. It says, and the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And then if you'll skip over there to chapter 22, I think it's verse 5. He says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Did you know in heaven there is no darkness in heaven? There's no physical darkness in heaven. There's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars, but there's also no darkness because God is light. And God's there, so therefore there doesn't need to be light. Did you know the earth had light before He made the sun? It was God's light. And so one thing about it is there's no dark there. Now, in the grave there's darkness, but not in heaven. I guess of all the fears of people, and I hear this nowadays, so many people's getting cremated, and that's between you and the Lord. I wouldn't do it, and I got a lot of scriptural reasons, but I got a lot of sentimental reasons too. But most people say, well, Pastor, I just can't imagine putting them in the cold, dark ground. That's why I got them cremated. So burning them up was better. Well, I don't want to be in that. I just can't imagine me laying there in that grave. Well, that's just your body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Look at that as the pantry. Some of y'all don't even know what a pantry is. Well, look at that as a storage locker. That's all it is, to store your body until the trumpet sounds so God can raise it and make it into a new body and reunite body, soul, and spirit into a glorified body just like His. Because He says when we see Him, we'll know who He is because we're going to be like Him. We're going to be changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye. But when you talk about people going to heaven, the first thing they want to talk about is the grave. And yes, it is dark in the grave, but I got news from you, for you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be in the grave. You're going to be in heaven. And there's no darkness in heaven. Quit fearing death. He took the sting out of death. He took the fear out of death. And this is the victory that overcomes that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't worry about dying. I hate pain. If you're going to kill me, just shoot me. Do something real quick. I can't take pain. Most men can't. They lie and say they can, but they can't. Women can take pain. They've had babies. If men had babies, there'd only be one to a family. We would never do that again. Amen? How many times y'all men ever did something and got hurt? You said, we'll never do that again. Women didn't do that. They had a baby, and then before you know it, they had another one. And another one. My mama had 9. You'd think she'd remember by then how painful it was. Hey, look, thank God there's no darkness in heaven. He took the darkness out of death. Now we go from here into the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know there's darkness in hell? That's why He said, cast them into outer darkness. He said that 13 times in 13 different places. Cast them into outer darkness. You said, but wait a minute, preacher, you believe in hell fire? Sure do. I do. Well, the fire gives off light. Not if God ain't there, it don't. Amen. You say, well, the sun gives off light. Well, God's right here. He's all over, man. But He's not going to be with you. Look, He's the light of Christ, and in hell is utter darkness, even though there's fire. It's still. You say, that don't make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. God did that. God can do anything He wants to. Some man told me the other day, he said, I'm a Christian, but I have a problem with God, loving God, sending the people hell. I said, God never sent one soul to hell, not one. I said, he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Amen? Because he wouldn't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They sent their own self to hell. I said, you think that God would let just anybody into heaven when it's holy and it's pure and it's perfect and it's all light, and you're going to let the darkness and the ugliness and the sin and the foul things that ruin this world, you're going to let them into heaven too? No, in order for God to be holy and righteous, He had to have another place for those things. He said, well, I have a problem with it. I said, well, just start reading your Bible. You'll get over it. Amen. Did you know that sometimes it's dark here? Sometimes it's dark here. We go through dark times. Most everybody in this room, if you're over 10 or 12 years old, you've had some dark times. You've had some times where you didn't think you'd even live through them. You had times you thought, boy, I'd be better off dead than the way I feel right now. It's hard, and I don't know what I'm going to do. It's dark, and God's not speaking, and I don't know where to look. And then one day, all of a sudden, God showed the light again. He showed His marvelous light and brought you out of that darkness. Before you were saved, you walked in darkness. You lived in darkness. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, for the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. You couldn't even see them. I've witnessed to people and take the Scripture and put it right in front of their face and read them the Scripture, and they'll say, I just don't see it, preacher. I just don't understand that. I don't see it. Those of us who are saved today, we ought to be jumping pews thanking God that He gave us the light to see it. Sometimes it's dark here. Our spiritual understanding is darkened. And we go through dark times in our life. Don't tell me. I don't care what the TV preacher said. Don't you tell me you haven't gotten discouraged. Don't you tell me we don't get despondent as believers. Don't you tell me we don't get depressed. You're lying. We do. But thank God the sun comes up. Eventually the sun will come up in the morning and God will shine that marvelous light on us and we'll come out of that darkness. All we have to do is just keep believing, keep trusting, keep following, and God will turn the light on, see. But lost people don't have that. And every day they live in darkness. And they've got all kind of questions. Why me? Why this? Why now? And you and I, we just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God interceding for us. And we look to Him even in dark times, and sooner or later, He'll turn the light on. Amen? Lost people don't have that. Amen. They have no hope. They have no light. There's no darkness in heaven. Amen? Thank God when we get to heaven, there won't be any more discouragement. There won't be any more depression. There won't be any more despondency. Hey, when we get to heaven, it's going to be on, buddy. We're going to praise God forever and ever and ever. And the light will never go out. And there'll never be another sleepless night. And there'll never be another worry. And there'll never be another discouragement. Amen? Amen. And then I thought about something else that's not in heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody doesn't know what I'm telling you today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Maybe you're here today, and you're saying, preacher, you're kind of crazy, man. No, I'm not. See, compared to what this world is and what we believe as believers, it sounds crazy. We sound like crazy people. We really do. But look at 2 Timothy, if you will, chapter 3, verse 1. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Did you know in heaven there's no darkness? There's no danger? There's no danger there. In this world, perilous times will come. And the closer we get to the end, Brother Bud, the more perilous it's going to be. I mean, I grew up in the greatest generation, I don't say of America, I say of the world. I'm a baby boomer and proud of it. Amen? And look, we changed the world. The new song, a couple years ago, one of these young people came out and they wrote this song. It's real popular. You could hear it every store, every elevator. And the song just kept saying, waiting for the world to change. Y'all remember that? Waiting for the world to change. And I thought, thank God, I ain't waiting on the world to change. Jesus has changed me. The world can do whatever it wants to. But we did change the world. We've changed the world. And my generation. But you know, I never dreamed that I'd turn on the news one day and see Islamic fanatics have 10 men on their knees and chop their head off all at one time. I never dreamed that I'd see Islamic fanatics put 10 or 15 men in a cage and lower them into a vat of acid and watch them burn. I never dreamed that. We live in perilous times. Amen? But thank God, when we get in heaven, there's no danger. There's no danger in heaven. The police are going to be out of business. I'm sorry, brother. You'll have to hunt a different profession when you get to heaven. You will too. There won't be no more call. No more 911. Amen? Won't be no hysterical people on the other end of the phone. There will be no danger in heaven. He says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And he even goes farther than that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From sin, turn away. In other words, he said there's going to be a religious crowd too. But they're dangerous. Did you know you can have a dangerous religious crowd? I just told you one example to Islam. Now, some of those people, they believe it so much, they'll die themselves for it. Now, we're talking about people that think they're holy. They think they're living for God. They think they're doing a great work for God, and they'll strap explosives on a little 12 or 13-year-old kid and send them out in the marketplace and push a button, blow them up and everybody around them, and that's religious people. Thank God, though, in heaven, there won't be no danger in heaven. I worry about my grandchildren. What kind of world are our grandchildren growing up in today? Boy, when I was a kid, I run around with a bad crowd. It's about 10% then. Now it's about 50% or more. And we didn't have guns. Didn't have the money to buy them. I mean, somebody might beat you to death with a brick, but they never would shoot you. But you know, the day we live in, and as we go farther, it gets worse. Because what was wrong is now right. And what was good, they now call bad. And if you want to live holy and righteously and have some godly standards in your life, this old world will look at you and they'll threaten you and call you a homophobe and a religious fanatic. And they'll call you a sexist and a racist and everything else simply because you're trying to live for God. I'm telling you, we're living in a dangerous time, but thank God when we get to heaven, the danger will be finished. Amen? There'll be nothing but peace, peace, marvelous peace. Amen? And then in heaven, in Revelation 20, look at verse 14. Revelation 20, verse 14. Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Thank God in heaven there'll be no more death. The curse of death will be removed. Now let me tell you something. The wages of sin is death. Wages means pay. If we get what we deserve, we're going to die and go to hell. There's two deaths. There's a natural death and there's a spiritual death. To be separated from God is spiritual death. The natural death is where this old body dies. Now, we've been put under the curse of the physical death because of what Adam did. Now, they blame it on the woman. You know, we've been blaming on the woman ever since. He said, "Lord, that woman you give me." That's exactly what he said. Go back and read it. "That woman you give me." Now she was deceived, but Adam did it willingly. He was not deceived. And ever since then, every descendant of Adam has had a death penalty on them. Hey, Adam and Eve had eternal life. God never intended for them to die. They were going to live forever and fellowship with Him forever and walk and talk with Him forever. But the day that they disobeyed God, they sinned. Sin cannot enter heaven. The wages to pay for sin is death. And that day, they began to die. And, of course, it was a long life back then. But as the years went by, finally, they gave up the ghost and their old body died. Now, we've been living under that curse ever since. Unless the trumpet sounds and you're a believer in Christ, you won't leave this world alive. Amen. There's crazy people. Y'all know there's crazy people, don't you? Now, they're paying to have their bodies frozen. They call it cryogenics. They freeze their body, and there's private space companies now. Did y'all know that? I watched one of them shoot off a satellite the other day on TV live. It's better than NASA. They're more efficient. They're cheaper. They do a good job. And now they'll freeze your body and send it into outer space so that maybe 20 or 30, 40, 50, 100 years from now, they find a cure for death and they'll revive you. You know what that tells me? Just because you got money don't make you smart. I tell you what, for $5,000, I'll put you in my freezer. We'll just start a freezer bank out here, Brother Bud. Because that body's dead. Ain't nobody in it. But they're trying to escape the penalty of sin, which is death. And that death penalty swings over all of our heads like a sword ready to drop at any minute. But thank God, in heaven, the curse of death is removed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this corruptible must put on incorruption. Thank God, one day this old rotten, dying body, I had to push it out of bed this morning. This old rotten, dying body. God's going to resurrect it and give me an eternal, immortal, incorruptible body where sin will never touch it again. Now that's heaven, see. That's heaven. No death in heaven. No more graveyards. No more mortuaries. No more funerals. No more broken hearts. No more weeping. No more loneliness, because death has crept in and stolen somebody that we love. And death in heaven is going to be extinct. Thank God. We'll live forever. My mama was 98, and people say, whoa, 98? That ain't nothing in heaven. That ain't nothing. We're going to live long as God lives, man. And we won't be in a wheelchair either. That sentence of death is what puts you in that wheelchair. That sentence of death is what gives you the Alzheimer's. When we get to heaven, He's going to give us immortal, incorruptible bodies that have never been touched by the curse of sin, and therefore no sickness, and therefore no death. Thank God. No death in heaven. You say, preacher, you believe that? Oh, with all my heart. With all my heart. I remember when all Christians used to believe that. Amen? And then in Revelation 19:20. Hurry. Revelation 19:20. Revelation 19:20. And the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Did you know in heaven there's not going to be any more deception? It says right here, the old devil, the beast, the false prophet deceived them. Now, we've been deceived, amen? We've all been deceived. The devil's deceived us. The world has deceived us. Our enemies have deceived us. Sometimes people that say they love us have deceived us. We live in a world of deception. Most people sit there and eat it up. You turn on TV, this cream will remove wrinkles. What is it? Cement? Take this, you'll never be sick again. Drink this. This is going to make you happy. Yeah, yeah. Get on this website, you'll find the love of your life. Wait, you see what it really looks like. And how you know, hey fellas, how you know that ain't a man you've been talking to? It's happened. It's happened. We've all been deceived. Amen? We've all been deceived. But listen, we all have been deceived sometime, but thank God, guess what? We just read it. The father of lies will not be there. Every lie that was ever told originated in Satan. The Bible calls him the father of lies. What the old fellow on television used to say? He said, the devil's a lie. And that's true. He was not using bad English. The devil is a lie. Everything about Satan is a lie. and everything he's ever tried to sell us or give us is a lie. Amen. And we've been deceived. Amen. I've been deceived. We've been deceived by sinners and saints alike. We've been deceived by our own mind and our own body. Amen? Yesterday, I felt like in my head I was about 18. This morning, I woke up and I felt 163. We've been deceived. Amen? I talked about alcohol in Sunday school this morning, last week too. Alcohol's a deceiver. Narcotics are a deceiver. What's that old joke you know about closing time? Everybody's good looking. Amen? Some of y'all ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. I'm glad you don't. Because those of us who have been deceived know what I'm talking about. Amen? What's that old song? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. They used to sing there at the end, you know. And everybody was good looking. But you were deceived by something. And then the next day you woke up and you realized what had happened. Thank God we go to heaven. We're not going to be deceived. In heaven, it's nothing but truth. 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 Because Jesus Christ is in heaven and He is the truth. Some of y'all young people, you think you're so smart? You'll be deceived before you get to be 18 years old. You've already been deceived, most of you. You're just not smart enough to know it yet. Amen. These boys fall in love with these little old gals because they don't wear enough clothes. And I tell them, I say, look, I'll tell you how to tell what kind of woman that's going to be. Go look at her mama. If you wouldn't marry her mama, you better not marry that gal. Amen. Sometimes look at her daddy. If you wouldn't marry him, don't you? You better run fast as you can, because that's what we turn into, isn't it? But I'm in love. No, you're in lust. Your body is deceiving you. You don't even know what love is. Amen. Love is when you don't even see them. You don't even know what they look like. Somebody said, what they look like? I don't know, but they're pretty. You know. Revelation 21:27 in Revelation. My time's up, but I ain't quitting. Revelation 21:27. If Billy wouldn't sing so much, we'd be through by now. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, nor whatsoever work of the abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I want you to notice what he says. Anything that defileth. What does that mean? Anything that would corrupt it. Anything that would dirty it. Anything that would corrode it or make it ugly or sinful will not be in heaven. I know some people say they're going to heaven and they talk just like they're going straight to hell. That ain't going to be in heaven. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, that's not in heaven. And if that's you, you won't be either. Amen. What did that old fellow say? I know some people right now would rather climb a tree to tell a lie than to stand flat-footed so they could tell the truth. Yeah. It'd be easier to tell the truth, but they're going to climb a tree to tell a lie because they'd rather lie than tell the truth. And they claim to be believers. And I got news for you. There's no liars in heaven. Nobody that defiles will get to heaven. Ain't it funny how these popular singers, when they're young, they sing about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and when they get old, they cut a gospel album? Is that not funny? Isn't it funny how these old country music singers smoke pot and drink liquor and adultery and everything else, but then when they get old, they start singing How Great Thou Art. Amen. Willie Nelson made a gospel album. I'm just going to stop on that right there. There's nothing that defileth will get into heaven. I have preached funerals. Man be laying in the box. his testimony was he was wicked and he was mean and he abused his children, he abused his wife, he wouldn't pay his bills, he had a bad reputation, and people come by and say, don't he look at peace? And I think the mortuary just lied to you. They made him look like he's at peace, but that man went straight to hell. He was not born again. He wasn't saved. And all I can say will not fix that, so I just preach Jesus. And I leave the man alone. I'll usually say something like this: he's already preached his funeral. And then I'll preach Jesus. Now, I don't care if it's your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, your daddy, your mama, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. Hey, if they are not born again, and if they live in a defiled lifestyle, don't you look for them to be in heaven. Heaven's going to be pure and holy. You ever hate to go to a family reunion or to some family Christmas thing because there's somebody there with a filthy, vile mouth? Every time they open their mouth, they're blaspheming and cursing and fussing and fighting. You think that kind of stuff's going to heaven? No, sir. Heaven's going to be a place of peace. That defilement will not get there. Revelation 21:10. There's people in heaven right now on the grandstands hollering at me to preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. Revelation 21:10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, let me tell you something. In heaven, that great city is going to be a place of no darkness, no defilement, and no devil to ruin it. Now, every time we try to do something down here, the devil gets in on it. Every time we try to do something at home, the devil tries to get in on it. Every time we do something at church, the devil tries to get in on it. But thank God there's a city coming. The devil's going to have a posted sign up: no trespassing. He can't get in. Now, he can slip in here. We may not even recognize him. He may be disguised in somebody that says they're a Christian. But when the business meeting comes on, you'll know where the devil is. Yeah. When it comes time to spend a little money, you'll spot the devil. When it comes time to do something for God that takes a little work and effort, maybe a little money, you'll find out the devil's here. Amen. And he'll come to your house. Every time a man tries to be the head of the house, ladies, it's got to the age now where we're called masha. I can't pronounce the word. Masha something. I'd like to mash the one that made up the word. Machauvinistic or something. I don't know. They call us all kind of names. They call us sexist. They call me a sexist because I think a woman ought to look like a woman, walk like a woman, talk like a woman, sit like a woman. By the way, when I was going to school, son, did you know at public school they had classes to teach boys how to walk and how to sit and how to stand, and they taught girls how to sit? They didn't do this to boys, but they did it to girls. They'd give them a book and say, walk with that on your head. I got a pointy head. It won't even. But those girls walk. And they'd say, put one foot in front of the other. You ever notice that? And they say, hold your shoulders back. Now, go. Yeah. They call me a sexist because I think a man ought to look like a man. I think he ought to act like a man. I think he ought to be the man of the house. Amen. Amen. I think if the sink is broke, the man ought to fix it. Mama ought to, she ought not have to fix the sink. Well, got quiet on that one. I don't care if you use duct tape. Amen. Did you know I can't iron? I'm a sexist. I can't. I don't even know how to wash clothes. I'm a sexist. Amen. Because my wife, I better be quiet. My mama made me this way. Amen. But look, the old devil, he'll get in on your house too. Now, you ladies, listen to me. I want you to listen real close. I want you men. The Bible doesn't say we're to domineer. But if you'd give your husband an opportunity sometime to do what he's supposed to do, he might just do it. Just give him the benefit of that. You say, well, he'll mess it up. Well, sometimes he needs to mess it up. You ain't ever messed up nothing? Sure you have. But the devil, listen, he's not getting in heaven. He's not getting in heaven. And the one who causes all the trouble, all the disease, all the deception, all the darkness, all the defilement, all the danger will be gone once and for all forever, and it'll be sweet bliss in heaven. Amen. Did you know there'll be no unconverted people in heaven? Jesus said that. I didn't. If you don't like that, take it up with him. Don't. John 3:3, he said, talking to a religious hypocrite, he said, ye must be born again. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, you must be born again. Now, if you're not born again, then you don't go to heaven. I mean, it's that simple. But preacher, you don't know how good this person was. There's none good, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a good person in this room. If you hold a standard up to God and you, you're always going to see yourself as somebody wearing filthy rags. Your best is usually selfish, and that's a sin. There'll be no unconverted people there. There's people come to this church. You've got loved ones, and they're good people as far as this world's concerned, as far as the standards of being good in this world, but they're not saved. And you ought to get a burden for them because they will not go to heaven. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be honest. They will not go to heaven. There is no back door or side door. Jesus said, I am the door. And so if you go to heaven, you're going to go through Him or you ain't going. You say, but you don't know how good they are. They're not. You see, if they were that good, they'd have no problem receiving Him because He's the ultimate good. And then I'll quit. Some of you want me to anyway. Revelation 22. Look at verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the holy city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. In order to get to heaven, you need a door. John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I go to my Father's house. Now, there's a door to that house, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no other door. Look, there's one way, there's one door, there's one life, there's one Savior. There is no other. I'm not going to tell you to turn there, but John chapter 10, verse 9 says, the kingdom of God has come nigh to you today. The kingdom of God has come nigh to you today. Do you know what that means? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ walked by those people, and He is the kingdom of God. He's the originator. And as He walked by them and He talked to them, He said, the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. He's talking about Himself. Well, I don't have Him here today, but I've got Him right here. And so when we preach and teach these things, Brother Bud, out of the Word of God, the kingdom of God is nigh unto us right now. On March the 5th, 1978, Brother Billy, I stepped out of just knowing that the kingdom of God was there into the kingdom of God by receiving the one that said it. Now, I'm in the kingdom of God because of what He said. Now, as far as God's concerned, I'm already in heaven. Go read Ephesians 1:2. It'll blow your mind. He says unto you that's seated in heavenly places. As far as He's concerned, we're already there. You say, but preacher, you still sin. Sometimes I do. Sorry to admit that. I do. I'm sorry. And when I do, I fall down and I ask God to forgive me, and I beg deliverance and I beg forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. And if you walk in the light as He's in the light, 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. There's the light. The kingdom of God is nigh. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's nigh to you right now. You know what nigh means? Nigh means this. One step. That's how far you got to go to enter the kingdom of God. One step. You know what that step is? Turn into Christ. You're one step from death. Your next step may be the last step you ever take. The Bible says you're one heartbeat. You walk out this door today, may be the last heartbeat you ever have. You're one breath from eternity, your last one. The Russians, years ago when I was a kid, they sent astronauts up, and they bragged and said, "We've been up in heaven and we didn't see God." They said, "There is no God." And I look at them, I say, "You went too far. You didn't have to go all the way up there. All you had to do is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you had to do is come to the door and He'd open it. All you'd have to do, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. All you had to do is say, 'Yes, Lord, that's what I want,' and the door would open and you'd be in it. And you get to go to heaven." "Well, Pastor, as soon as I quit drinking liquor, I'm going to do that." No, He didn't say quit anything. "Well, as soon as I quit these drugs." No, don't quit. No. "Well, as soon as I get this relationship straightened out, me and this girl, me and this man." No, it doesn't say quit. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You turn to Him and He'll do the fixing. So you're trying to fix things, then go in. What you need to do is step in and let Him fix things. Are you going to heaven today? There's only one other place to go. That's hell. It's your choice. He says today, you choose today. If you're not saved, I want you to step up here. This preacher Ron's going to be up here. He'll take a Bible and he'll show you a couple of verses. You pray, ask the Lord to save you. You'll be stepped into the kingdom of God. And then you're on your way to heaven. As far as God's concerned, you're already in heaven. But if you reject Him today, all the money in the world won't save you. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the word.